This is Going Up Alleys, a podcast, episode 3, Diary of a Discovery. Welcome back to Going Up Alleys. I'm your host, Professor Stephen Sekula. On this episode, I'm going to do something a little bit different. Rather than interviewing an individual, I'm going to give you an audio diary of something that happened very recently. It was actually something truly incredible. The ATLAS and CMS experiments, which are large, multi-purpose particle collider detectors, released results on July 4th, 2012. These results are from searches for something called the Higgs particle. Now, the Higgs particle is a manifestation of a quantum field called the Higgs field, which is supposed to permeate all of space. And when other subatomic particles, for instance, electrons, which are found in every atom, when they interact with this field, they get mass. So without interacting with the Higgs field, so the standard model of particle physics goes, electrons would not have mass. But if they can interact with something that resembles the Higgs field, then they can acquire mass and they would have the measured property that we see today. Now, scientists have been searching for the Higgs particle for a long time. It was essentially predicted in the 1960s, and ever since then, particle experiments have been looking for it in one way or another. Now, of course, the standard model of particle physics, which includes the Higgs field, describes a whole range of other phenomena. And it was very directly tested in the early 1980s, when experiments at the CERN laboratory found evidence of the W boson and later the Z boson, both of which were predictions of the standard model that had not been verified directly. So it was believed in the 1980s that certainly the discovery of a Higgs particle must be right around the corner. But it took another 3 decades for that to actually happen, and it happened here at CERN at the Large Hadron Collider. Now, I'm actually in Switzerland right now. I'm actually in France. That's where I'm staying while I'm here. But I was at the CERN laboratory when the announcement was made that there would be seminars from both CMS and ATLAS in that order on July 4th. The seminars were in the morning at 9 a.m. And having come all this way to do some physics research over the summer, I'll be damned if I'm not going to get a seat in the main auditorium when these seminars are given so that I could at least report on the atmosphere and the events themselves. So I actually live blogged about the events. I did, in fact, get a seat in the main auditorium, and it was incredible. Now, while I myself have not contributed directly to the results that were shown, the Southern Methodist University Physics Group has many people who have. And it was an incredible experience to see their work and the work of hundreds of other physicists represented that day. It was also incredible to know that each of us in some small way has had a part in making this happen because, as a collaboration, each of us is responsible for contributing to the well-being of the experiment, you know, taking shifts, providing some kind of operational or developmental task for the experiment. And every one of us has done something that, in part, made this possible. So what I'll do now is play some audio snippets from the night before and the morning before, and then the event itself. It begins actually quite late on the afternoon of July 3rd. We had decided that we were concerned that getting a seat in the main auditorium was going to require essentially pulling an all-nighter. We realized that other people were going to want to line up and get a seat, and so a few of us decided that what we would do is we would go into CERN at around 11 p.m. on July 3rd, and we would sit down in the hallway and we would wait. And if there were other people already there, we knew we were going to have to sit down and tough it out. If no one was there, we were just going to keep coming back and checking and seeing if people were starting to line up, and if they were, we would throw some blankets and pillows down and sit down, maybe watch a little TV on the internet or something like that. So the story actually begins around 5 p.m. on July 3rd. and then I'll come back and narrate the little bits and pieces that come after that.
Well, it's about 5 p.m. Central European time. I have decided to come home a little bit early today. Okay, well, a lot early today from CERN. I'm going to lay down, try to sleep for about 5.5 hours, and then I'm going to get up at 10:30, shower, have a little coffee, and Aiden is picking me up around 11 p.m. We're going to go into the office, and we're going to pull an all-nighter and stay at CERN in the hopes of getting a good position in line for the CERN seminar tomorrow on the ATLAS and CMS Higgs results. We're committed to this. The things we're willing to sacrifice for physics include a decent night's sleep, and we're just hoping that we beat everyone else to it so that we can get into the main auditorium. Barring that, we'll go to one of the spillover places, but we really want a seat in the main auditorium. So, committed, gonna do this, gonna pull it like it's a night shift, and I'm going to sleep now, and I'll be up in 5.5 hours. Okay, good.
Well, it's about 10:15 p.m., and I got up a little bit earlier than I wanted, but I can't sleep anymore, which is not a surprise, because going to bed at 5:30 is not something I usually do. I watched a little bit of YouTube just to kind of wake up, and then I decided to check my email, and interestingly, it looks like someone has either on purpose or accidentally leaked a video. Since I'm not interested in watching it, I don't know if it's only about ATLAS or only about CMS. I've heard rumors it's only about CMS, but the video is supposed to be the thing that's released after the big announcement in the morning, talking about what the content of the seminar is, and as you can imagine, the tone of it is discovery-oriented. So somebody let the cat out of the bag a little bit early, and this seems to be echoing around the internet right now. Surprise, surprise. But I'm not going to look at the video. I'm going to enjoy the actual scientific seminar, which is the whole point of this. And so my next task is to get cleaned up, get dressed, get some coffee in me, and then kill time until Aiden picks me up at 11.
So after making something resembling an extremely late evening breakfast, and most importantly, having a cup of coffee, even if it was instant coffee, I then left the apartment around the time that that Aiden showed up. So Aiden is a postdoctoral researcher at SMU. We worked together on Higgs physics, and he was my ride into CERN. We were going to tough it out and do this together. And interestingly, his mom had flown in the day before. She's very interested in physics and particle physics, and she's followed the story of the Higgs boson for quite some time, and Aiden got her a visitor pass, and so she was going to join us to camp out in front of the main auditorium all night long to get a seat the next day. I thought that was actually pretty damn cool. So when Aiden showed up, I left the apartment, went downstairs, and wandered out to the car, and we made our way to CERN. Thank you.
sorry, did you just say the words, come on, Sekula, let's do this?
I did.
Wow, you've clearly had a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
You're way too enthusiastic for what we're about to try to pull off.
Yeah.
I was too.
And you know, I've been awake since 5 this morning.
Ugh.
And I didn't sleep very well at all the night before. Cause...
We arrived at CERN at around 11:20 p.m. and we parked. We walked into the building that houses the CERN main auditorium, or the main amphitheater. And we knew that the entrance on what I believe corresponds to the north side of the auditorium was the one they were going to let people into. They turned out to be using the south entrance as something like a staging area or a green room for speakers and distinguished guests. So we knew we were going to have to line up by the other entrance. And when we got there, sure enough, we were not the first people there. There were something like 5 to 10 people already waiting. I was the first faculty member to show up to wait. And most of the other people that were there were CERN summer students. These are students that come from all over the place to do research, have some kind of research experience at CERN during the summer. I was pretty sure I raised the average age there by about 10 years when I showed up. Certainly Aiden's mom helped me there, but I alone probably helped that along. We sat, we put our supplies out, got some food, got some coffee, got some entertainment. More people showed up, and over the next couple of hours, the wall alongside the sort of lobby area outside the main auditorium filled up about 3 or 4 people thick, and then going all the way along the wall with just people from all over. I mean, there were students, there were postdoctoral researchers, there were other faculty that showed up from all over the place, from the United Kingdom, from France, from Italy, from the United States. You name it, there was probably somebody from that place in that room. And over the course of many hours, they piled up, going back, and people organized barriers to make it clear where the line had started and where the line should be going, so that no one was confused when they showed up about where they should go. And probably by about 4 or 5 in the morning, I think enough people had shown up that we knew that no one else was going to be able to make it into the main auditorium. For sure, we at the front of the line were going to get seats. But around 4 or 5, enough people had shown up, and the line was so long that we were pretty sure by doing a rough head count that anybody beyond that time was simply not going to get in. It was incredible. The atmosphere was electric. I mean, people were tired, but they stayed up and they watched movies. The group next to us watched the movie Ice Age before many of them laid down to get a few hours of sleep, or at least as best as they could. The atmosphere was something like, I don't know, the release of a product from the Apple store when people queue up the night before, or a rock concert. Maybe waiting for tickets for a rock concert or to get into a rock concert is the best way to look at it. It was lively, but well-behaved. People were friendly. They shared with one another. They chatted with one another. People that otherwise probably never would have met each other met that night, waiting in line to get into the announcement seminars from the Atlas and CMS experiments. And people came by to take pictures. They thought this was ridiculous, but it doesn't matter. I mean, the point was, it was an experience, and it was an experience that everybody there wanted to have. That's why they showed up ridiculously early in the morning to get a place in line. So I'm going to play just a little bit of audio just to give you a sense of the number of people that were there. This audio comes from about 5:45 in the morning, the day of the seminars. So what happened next was a little strange. At around 6:15 in the morning, just 1 hour and 15 minutes before the doors were supposed to open and the general visitors who were going to attend the seminars would be let in. The fire alarm went off, and it was incredible. Nobody moved. I mean, it was entirely possible that there was a fire in that building at that time. But people just looked at each other as this shrill, brain-liquefying siren went off, and nobody moved. In fact, one person just a few seconds after it went off said, "I am not moving. I am not losing my spot in line." And there was pretty much general agreement amongst everybody in that lobby, going 100 feet back to the CERN Council chambers, along the CERN Council chamber wall, back along the windows on the opposite side, around the windows, around toward a piano, down the stairs, into the lobby of Building 500, past the bank, into Restaurant 1. No one was moving. And eventually security showed up, and they checked the place out to make sure nothing was wrong. And then eventually the fire brigade showed up, and they checked out too, and then they shut the alarm off. But it was just this amazing moment of resistance. One of my friends had jokingly referred to this evening as Occupy CERN. And this was maybe our one moment of true resistance against an attempt to get us to leave that place. And what was it? It was a fire alarm that probably had been accidentally set off by somebody opening an emergency door or something like that. So you're going to hate me for this, but I really want to play what this thing sounds like to you because it is awful. Well, after the drama with the fire alarm, 7:30 rolled around pretty fast, and they started letting people in. They let them in small groups and then kept a pretty good head count. So we were among the first 20 or 30 people to walk into that room. We got very good seats in the back center section of the auditorium. The front section was almost entirely reserved for special guests, dignitaries. For instance, Peter Higgs was there, Tom Kibble, and their colleagues who'd worked on electroweak symmetry breaking come up with the idea back in the 1960s. So we watched people shuffle in, and the seminars started at 9. So we were sitting in that auditorium for an hour and a half while everything got set up and they got started. And the room went quiet when the director general introduced the first speaker, the spokesperson of the CMS experiment, Joanne Candela. And he gave this really nice talk. And there came this moment when he revealed the strength of the signal that CMS had found in their data, in their search for the Higgs particle. And it was at the level 5 standard deviations above background that is the threshold for claiming the discovery of something new in physics. 5 sigma basically means that the probability of this being a fluke, a statistical fluctuation of something that isn't new, turning into something that looks new, is so overwhelmingly tiny that you can pretty much smile and claim you've made a discovery. And in the next talk, the spokeswoman of Atlas, Fabiola Giannotti, got up, and she pretty much showed the same thing, that Atlas also had 5 standard deviation evidence for a new particle with the same mass as the one that CMS had found. And before Fabiola even talked, when she showed the slide with the result on it, the applause started. And I just want to play some of what that wall of applause that both Joe and Fabiola got when they showed these results sounds like. Because for us in that room, it was the release of decades of waiting, of hopes and frustrations of previous attempts to search for this thing, all ending suddenly in discovery. And it's impossible to communicate what that felt like at the time, but it is a feeling that I, and I'm sure everyone else in that room, will never forget for the rest of our lives, unless this happens again. So here's what it sounded like after Joanne Candela put that slide up and said what the strength of the discovery was from the CMS collaboration.
Thank you.
This has been Going Up Alleys, a podcast by Stephen Sekula. The main theme is by Nikoko from the album Classicoco and is entitled Occipital. It is available for download from Jamendo for free.